Here we go. Round three. Okay. Oh, by the way, somebody did say they probably did sit on your thing a couple of
times. That was an example of opening locks in the lobby. Because I was thinking, is there anybody pointing? Maybe Manny is right, maybe Jerome is any locks. And then the dog walked over it, I was already in the locks. And say that my iPhone has, you know, imprint of Polly and energy of Elias, and here it is.
Okay, we're trying to record Elias and the dog is stepping on it. Oh, well. Oh, you little puppy. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
What shall we discuss now?
It was a good session yesterday. Okay, let me ask about some dreams of mine. One dream, I'm teaching the children to do something. And I can see some adults gathered around me, and it's in this house, maybe. And Mary is in the kitchen, and she's aware of what I'm doing. She is approving, and I am aware that she is aware. Or maybe you are there as well. And adults are wondering, how do I know to teach kids that? And I am showing them something, they are understanding, they are doing it. What was that about?
And your impression?
I think I felt good. It was a validation that I can be useful, so to speak. I do carry some perspective that I can share. It did have a sense that telepathically we're all connected and we're aware of each other. And it was confident, it brought some confidence that I am valid and I know I can share.
And that you exposed.
That I'm exposed, yes, yes.
Oh.
And that being exposed is not uncomfortable.
Indeed, that was a very comfortable dream. Okay, and as I was, I'm a member of the ensemble, a music group, and I think there are two violins there. I wasn't sure which one I was, but let's say I was the leader of the group, the older one, and the younger one would not express himself in the way that I wanted. He wasn't open, he wasn't exposed and honest and expressive. So I put the guy in front of the group and I said, now you play and you really play with your heart, and so we can feel it, express yourself. And even the name was given, the peppermint name. Is that just symbolic, or is that some focus?
That is imagery very similar to the other dream.
Mm-hmm.
In you allowing yourself to be expressive, encouraging other individuals to be expressive also, and allowing that exposure and encouraging exposure in other individuals, knowing that it is not frightening and that it is not uncomfortable.
Okay.
It's a Samari thing.
Okay, let me ask you about this. We probably discussed that, but following up on exposure and expression. Sometimes I try to express myself and I get a lot of attention. Oh, wow, you're doing great. Sometimes I hear my voice and it becomes monotonous. I see people walking away, I see people starting to ask conversations, and I am in some kind of dreamland, and I don't even like my own voice and my own footprint. Now, how does the one turn into other? And how do I avoid one and go into another?
By recognizing that in one situation, you are interested and passionate about what you are expressing, and recognizing when you become bored with your own subject. And that is what changes. You are not as interested in your own subject as you may have been initially. And in that, you are becoming bored with your subject, and you reflect that in disinterest. And in that, as you continue to speak, you are listening to your voice, and you are becoming distressed with your own voice, for you are already bored with your own subject.
Okay.
Sometimes we would talk to each other, and at some point I understand and I get the concept and I get the idea of what he's saying, and then I ask him to stop. I got it already. He cannot stop. He still continues. And I said, there's no sense to continue. I already got it. Why waste the time? He needs to finish his sentence or his 10 pages of text that he prepared to still to express the whole thing. So isn't this also the part that he actually is aware of, that he expressed enough, but he still needs to finish it for some reason, you know?
That is also a point. For many times, certain individuals do, in a manner of speaking, require allowing themselves to follow through a concept or a subject, for in doing so, it is not as much that they are attempting to inform you, but more that they are generating more clarity within themselves in what they are expressing. And in expressing aloud, you process differently than you do in thinking. There's an actual physical different action that occurs when you are expressing verbally than when you are thinking. When you think, you actually engage half of your physical brain. You engage one hemisphere of your brain. When you speak, you incorporate both. You engage both hemispheres of your brain. Therefore, when you think and you are moving through different factors or elements of some subject or some concept and attempting to process that, you are not engaging all of the elements of you together, such as not engaging all of your logic and intuition, all of your creativity and reason. You're not processing all of those factors together. When you speak, you are engaging all of those factors together.
It's a full spectrum.
Yes, and therefore, many individuals process information for themselves more clearly and more accurately when they speak. They may be generating a point to another individual, and the other individual may understand the point, but the individual themselves may not entirely clearly understand it until they process through the entirety of it.
Yeah, so I guess when you were trying to explain somebody, I don't know, any task or anything, finally, and I found myself in such a situation that when I was explaining to somebody some task or some issue, I would really understand it myself better.
Yes.
That was the phenomenon that I encountered, yeah.
Yes. Does that happen also when one is making notes or writing down notes?
Not as much, no. For you are engaging in physical action, but you are also processing through thought. And therefore you are not engaging those other factors of yourself. And may not be as clear even if you are writing, although it is somewhat more clear than in merely thinking.
That's why some people like to talk about the problem and express it even if he as an individual is not an expert in the field. Yeah.
Yes.
That brings me to my next question. What is the nature of my thinking? Why do I have problems thinking, which is to say, I guess being a political focus, I can only wonder how nicely thought-focused individuals are laying down their thoughts one after another, almost as if they are building a castle or a mechanism or whatever. In my case, it seems like I get a glimpse of something and then I retreat, I recede. I get another glimpse and I recede. And when someone tells me, well, just go and think about it, it seems like I can't. I have to ask questions, I have to get input.
But that is precisely natural for your focus type.
Hmm. Okay, but that is my problem. Let's say, for example, at work, with this emotional way. I have to do some design work, designing a system. And my friend, who is an architect, already laid the foundation. Normally, I would experience some fear and some hesitation, but it would disappear very quickly as I start doing. As soon as I'm in the process, I know that I can do it, and I'm doing it. If I have questions, I answer them, I propose something, I ask questions, and then move on. It's iterative. But now, with this emotional link, I'm sitting in front of the computer, and I'm actually scared. And I cannot move beyond that point like I usually would move beyond quickly. And he would just say, well, just leave the fear out of it. You know how to do it. You have done it before. Just go and think about it. Propose something and we will talk. And I'm sitting there and I cannot think. And I cannot get beyond the point. And the emotional background is so strong. What pointers would you give?
Is not necessarily a matter of merely thinking about the situation. And I am understanding why that is not helpful to you. It is natural for you to ask questions. You process information not merely through thought, but through environment and through feeling. Therefore, knowing those factors, it is a matter of engaging what is natural for you. Not expressing to yourself, I have already accomplished this type of action. I know how to do this type of action. But realizing what you are feeling and allowing yourself to engage what is natural for you. Ask questions. And engage. You are expressing that you generate this fear or you freeze when you are before the computer. The computer is not answering questions for you. It is not engaging you. Therefore, it is a matter of changing the action and allowing yourself to engage in a natural fashion for yourself. For what that does is it interrupts that freeze. Even if your questions are unrelated to what you are doing, it matters not. It is a matter of interrupting the freeze with a natural action that you generate. Allowing yourself to momentarily remove yourself from what you are doing and engage in a natural action, whether it is related to what you are doing or not, and that interrupts enough to allow you to move beyond the freeze and to re-inspire yourself.
Okay. But I also want to talk about one element in it, that my tendency is to ask questions about everything, because I don't trust myself to make a decision. And I consider it very beneficial when someone tells me over and over answers to my questions, and then I can question why they gave that answer, and I'm learning and learning and learning. But one of the things that may pay me for, so to speak, is to make my own decisions, and my friend is perfectly willing to discuss the result and give me some pointers and suggest something that could have been done better. But he says there is no point to me to answer every of your questions right now, because then I'm designing the system and you are not learning, which I think is a perfectly good point he's making. But for me, I have a tendency, I don't want to make any decisions. I just want to listen to other people making them and why they're making them, hoping that then I can repeat the process in the future.
But this is your challenge in being self-directing.
Mm-hmm.
This is your practice.
To make my own decisions.
To be self-directing.
Okay. So when you
not
say
to be placing yourself in the position of allowing other individuals to be directing you.
Okay.
When you engage the other individual, this is the reason that I expressed it is not important to engage questions that are related or associated with what you are doing. It is the action of allowing yourself to engage that questioning, which is a natural action for you. That action in itself can be enough to satisfy that natural expression of you, but also allow you to re-inspire yourself by moving beyond the freeze, and in that allow you to engage your creativity and be self-directing. You can be engaging the other individual and asking questions of his family or of what his opinion of the weather is, or whether he incorporates a dog. It matters not. It is not the point of what the questioning is.
It's a matter of interruption.
Yes.
Yeah. So you are not saying to outsource decision making to someone else by questioning. You're just saying interrupt, go ask him about the weather or whatever, come back.
Break.
Yeah, come back and then make your own decisions.
Yes.
Is this importance of questioning part of me because the way I, just the way I am in, as an individual, or is that for any political focus that way?
It is a very common element with political focused individuals. Political focused individuals naturally ask questions. They naturally question much.
Yes, I can tell.
And in that, they are always seeking information, and they incorporate a natural curiosity. And that natural curiosity is not limited to themselves. They incorporate a natural curiosity in relation to any subject and any individual. And will naturally ask more questions than most other individuals. More so than the other orientations.
That's probably, okay, that explains perfectly the fact that he remembers so much minute, and to me seeming so unimportant, and he remembers so much detail, when he doesn't remember what I said to him 5 minutes ago. He remembers such from 2-3 years ago, who said what, at what circumstances and stuff. It amazes me. It's so much information that he says like this.
I would express also that a political focused individual can be a very natural complement to a thought focused individual. Or conversely, thought focused individuals do not ask questions. They may at times, but they do not seek out tremendous volumes of information, and they do not incorporate the same curiosity. Therefore, they are less inclined to be asking questions and will not offer themselves the full scope of information that they could. And for the most part, that would be for they are not necessarily interested. But the political focused individual, as they do process similar to a thought focused individual, but they do ask many questions, are a natural complement or counterpart to a thought-focused individual, for they provide more information.
See, that is very surprising for me, because I perceive some of my friends who I think are thought-focused, they are constantly reading, they are constantly getting information about their field of expertise and in general.
For it concerns them.
And I'm comparing myself to them, and here's comparison again, and I'm saying, my God, I'm not reading any of that, I don't even want to read that, and yet, I envy their knowledge, because if only I had that knowledge, I would be enjoying it so much more.
But not necessarily. You gain information in your manner. Thought-focused individuals, generally speaking, yes, they do incorporate much information and will seek out much information, but in what they are interested in, or in what directly concerns them, or what directly affects them, not necessarily an enormous variety of other concepts and ideas or situations or experiences that do not necessarily concern them or directly affect them. And in this, you as a political focused individual, in asking questions, spark interests. When you ask questions, you are gaining information for yourself, but you are also, in a manner of speaking, exchanging with the other individual, for in you asking questions, you are prompting the other individuals to think in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Yes.
So my friend at work, I think he's too focused. So that is one aspect of our relationship where he can benefit from my question sometimes.
Yes.
And clarify for himself. Sometimes.
Yes.
Okay. Now going back to thinking a little bit, I had a dream that I mentioned in earlier sessions where I was inside the head, I was resonating with some doctor who was thinking something. And I don't remember what he was thinking, but I remember the process that I visualized as laying down some lentil blocks or some paving the road or something. It was one thought after the other contributing to the enormous multidimensional body of knowledge that he was doing so naturally. And nothing would disappear. It was purely. He was thinking, and it was all progressive movement. For some reason, for me, and let's say my horoscope chart, my Mercury may be retrograde or static or whatever, other indications like that. But it seems like for me, the way I feel it, I cannot maintain that progressive movement. I seem to be in the dark with a little flashlight, and I can only light a small part at a time. And then try to get it and bring it forward to something else, but it's not building something really big.
Oh, but it is. You are comparing.
Yes.
And in this, you all engage your own different processes. Your different processes are very intertwined with your focus type, your orientation, your personality, your natural expression of what you generate, and in that once again you are somewhat describing the difference between a thought-focused individual and a political-focused mm-hmm. individual. Generally speaking, thought-focused individuals would appear to be moving one step in front of the other and progressively building and creating a structure, so to speak, for they are placing brick by brick.
Mm-hmm.
But structures can be built in other manners. You progress not in a line, so to speak, but in a circle.
Yes.
For your attention moves more sideways than forward. They are both accomplishing.
Mm-hmm.
You are both generating your own structures. You are merely building them differently.
Mm-hmm.
But you are both accomplishing equally as well. You incorporate that difference for the factor that thought focused individuals do not include in their processing of information is environment. When you include environment, you cannot move in a linear motion. For without environment, you move in a line. With environment, it is surrounding. It surrounds you. Mm-hmm. Including that, you cannot squeeze that into a line. It is more expansive than that line. Not that a thought-focused individual cannot understand when it is presented to them that circle, but that is natural to you, to include that circle. Therefore, yes, your attention will jump from this direction to this direction, and in that you perceive that you are not generating the entire scope, but in actuality, I would express that your perceiving or your assimilating and processing is in a manner of speaking somewhat more expansive. Although you are describing it as holding your flashlight in the dark and pointing it in different spots and highlighting different spots and viewing that you are not actually seeing the entire picture or the scope of the picture, you are moving that flashlight to different spots and using the same analogy. The thought-focused individual is pointing the flashlight in one direction and not paying attention to all of the other spots, but merely moving in one direction. Therefore, that one direction may appear to be more illuminated, for they are directing that light in one direction and focusing in that one direction, and therefore the darkness that surrounds may appear to fade away, for they're not paying attention to the surrounding darkness.
It's not seen, so it's not perceptive, the darkness.
But if we change the analogy, yeah, but that's good. That's very nice. But now, if we change the analogy and say, I have to produce something, I have to build something. Let's say we have to build a table. And first-focused individual will make some choices, and he knows that there is four legs and one top, and he will choose something for his top, something for his leg, and he will proceed. In my case, I will start asking questions, well, do we really want to straight legs and curved, and how is the floor, and how is the top?
Correct. For you include your environment,
right,
and what is around you, which also includes other individuals and their ideas and their preferences or their opinions, and you are quite correct. In this analogy with the table, the thought-focused individual will merely view that as an object and how they will choose to construct it.
But
you will consider Do I want a round table? Do I want a square table? Shall I create the table to be an odd shape? Shall it be what height? What type of material shall I build it with? There are many more factors that you will consider.
Yeah, but what confuses me is when they are knowledgeable about building the table to the same degree as I am or more, and they already know a set of factors to consider, but for them it's a limited set, and they consider it already and they start building. For me, I'm still doubting my decisions about anything about the table, and so my friend would rightly say to me, well, let's build one version of the table on paper and let's discuss it and then make it better and so on. But even on paper, I have troubles building even the first draft of the table, that I'm so doubting my choices and so many questions coming to my mind.
I would express to you, my friend, what the challenge is in this, or what the difficulty is, what you are creating in difficulty, is that you are misunderstanding yourself and your natural movement and not accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
What you are doing is, rather than accepting, this is what I naturally express. I naturally consider all of these different possibilities. I naturally question all of these different possibilities and consider all of the factors around me, which may also be the input or the ideas of other individuals.
Yes.
Which is not necessarily that you want them to tell you, I want this type of table with this type of material in this type of shape, and then you do it. It is more that you are assimilating a feeling of what the other individual may be conceptualizing or
yes.
may be wanting, and in that you can create your own design
mm-hmm.
of that based upon the input of what feeling you derive from what you are acquiring in input
yes.
from other individuals. But what you are doing within yourself is not translating it in that manner, that this is what you are doing and this is natural for you.
Mm-hmm.
What you are doing within yourself instead is translating that as doubting yourself, not knowing what to do. You do know what to do, but you are discounting yourself that you are questioning.
Mm-hmm.
You are comparing and expressing the other individual already knows.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that.
Okay.
They know. Why do I not know? Why am I questioning?
Yes.
Why am I engaging this action?
Mm-hmm.
You are engaging this action, for you are including those feelings to inspire you to create your own design.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not that you are requesting specific instruction in how to design it, but that you are attempting to pull in that input of a feeling that includes your environment to allow you to creatively translate that feeling into a product.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is very reassuring. Thank you very much.
Therefore, I would suggest that you practice not questioning yourself as much and discounting yourself, but rather acknowledging yourself and allowing yourself to do what you naturally do, knowing that that is your method to assimilate information, to process that into a feeling that will allow you to inspire yourself.
Thank you very much. I think a lot of it,
I want you to I am noticing some things about myself. And actually being a little bit puzzled in this, that everybody is talking about emotional wave and emotions, you know, rising up to the surface so much. But actually I'm finding myself a kind of opposite direction. In most cases my emotions, I would say, are down. But there are cracks in existence where, I don't know, some music from the past that I know and so could drop it and I could, you know, start crying and stuff. And then it dissipates and I'm back old again and I perceive myself a little bit less emotional than usual. And I wanted to know why it is. Why is it?
First of all, remember, this wave is what we are terming the emotional wave. Mm-hmm. But it is not necessarily concerning emotions. It is in the context of the communication mm-hmm. of emotion, but that is not the only communication that it is addressing to. And in that, whether you are an emotionally focused individual or not, it is not necessarily to say that an emotionally focused individual will be more emotional within this wave. Mm-hmm. In actuality, I would express that the direction that you are engaging may be more effective and efficient for you mm-hmm. to allow you to somewhat buffer out other energies.
That's probably what's happening. Am I buffering out
yes.
other energies? That's what I'm doing?
Which allows you to not engage such overwhelm and allows you to remain more centered. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I would express that this is not necessarily a concern, but a benefit.
I even didn't consider it a concern. It just was, you know, it was a curiosity to me about myself that I find myself in such a situation. But then again, there are cracks that unexpectedly I can start
yes.
because the energy is still, I guess, there, and there is probably still pent up energy that I don't let out sometimes. Because sometimes I feel that I am, like, you know, muffling out my own reactions, my own emotions. Sometimes it does happen, and I still don't know how to consciously buffer things and stuff. And when I start doing it consciously, I feel that I'm opposing and stuff, and I understand that. I know I need to switch my attention to something else, to somebody else, but, like, a taste of this is still kind of remains in my mouth. But, okay, so it was, again, not a concern, but a curiosity.
And in this, you are naturally buffering, and it is not necessary for you to think of it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm very sensitive. I've become more sensitive, I guess, to people's energy, or I don't know, it's all together, loops, conversation. There's one guy at work who didn't do anything bad to me or so whatsoever, and yet I distaste him so much I cannot stand next to him. I was wondering what it was about. How does it happen? I'm not so accepting, I guess, and it's not natural even for me to communicate. I have to overcome myself at moments even to communicate to this guy. And he's a new guy, and he's just trying to fit it, probably he's trying too hard to my taste, to my preference, and I probably consider it, like, not so, I don't know, noble or stuff, and I just taste it, I guess, but why do I have such a strong response to this?
Let me express to you, even in being accepting, you will encounter other individuals that you do not necessarily like, or that you are repelled by. That can be merely associated with the other individual's energy, not necessarily what they are doing or how they are expressing, but they may project an energy that is repelling to you.
It is so repelling that I literally feel sick after I communicate with such a man. I literally feel sick. I need to recuperate. I need some time to be myself again.
I would also express, which would be the situation in this case, that another reason this can occur is you can be opposite counterparts. Opposite counterparts are very repelling. Mm. And in that, it is very difficult for individuals to interact if they are opposite counterparts. They naturally repel in like manner to two magnets. Mm-hmm. They will force apart. They will not naturally move together. When you know that another individual is an opposite counterpart, and you can accept that, that you naturally are repelled. You do not need a reason. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is not necessary to discover or find a reason. And in that, I would suggest that it would be advisable to limit interaction as much as possible. For this is a natural action, and in that, I would express that you can be entirely accepting, and that will continue, regardless.
Okay, that helps, actually. You know, I'm not going to punish myself for that much.
Yes. It is not that the other individual in your estimation or in your perception would be perceived as a monster,
yeah,
or bad, but their energy is very different from your own. And in a manner of speaking, their projection of energy is opposite,
mm-hmm,
to your own. And that creates a natural repelling.
And it seems that this natural repelling does not only occur with me, but with others who communicate with him as well. Probably his energy is very weak, I guess. <That's funny. laughs> I wanted to ask you actually about myself, how I'm doing. With my internal work, so to speak, with my works, with how I go along the life. I'm trying to do some changes. I've been trying to do, you know, interest myself in exercises in which I actually succeeded in a way because it is playful way. We purchased, we gave ourselves for our birthdays a gift. We purchased a Wii game, which is a virtual. I don't know, you can play whatever you want. You can ski, you can play tennis. And it brings the greatest joy. And actually, it helps me to find things about myself and kind of overcome myself. And I do enjoy it very greatly. But again, I guess I'm overdoing it because, again, I screwed up my knees and I screwed up my shoulder. And I'm trying to stay in balance. And I didn't want to cut off. Because I had to stop and cut off completely again gaming because of the pain that I caused myself. And
it is a matter of balance and pacing.
Balance and pacing, but you know what? I'm finding that my natural flow, I like to overdo things. That is my natural flow, I guess. And I really get a kick out of it when I do, when I go beyond pain, beyond tiredness, beyond that. At those moments, I feel I've accomplished something. I don't know, it's twisted probably a sense of accomplishment, but that's what I get. And it seems that my body does not let me do it. But I like to test the limits of myself and the limits of my body. And that's what's happening.
I would suggest that you allow yourself to test the limits, but in a manner that is not damaging.
It does not seem to be damaging at the moment. That's later when I discovered that it's been damaging.
But this is the point of paying attention, listening to your body consciousness. It will communicate with you. You can expand your limits, so to speak, but also be paying attention. Listen to your body consciousness. It does communicate. But if you are not paying attention, you will not notice. When you are pushing the limits to the point of damage, before you reach the point of damage, your body will begin to respond to you differently. You may not notice it,
but the signals will be there.
But they are there. Just as a hypothetical example, let us say an individual that is unaccustomed to exercising chooses to engage an action of sit-ups. Mm-hmm. Now, the individual that is unaccustomed to engaging that exercise will not necessarily incorporate a reference as to how many they can engage without being damaging. But in generating the action, the body consciousness will move smoothly for a few of those actions, and when it approaches the point where it is beginning to move into the damaging area, it will slow, it will become more tense, it will constrict, It may not constrict tremendously, but it will constrict, and it will be responding differently. Now, the individual that is interpreting the action may not notice and may continue to engage the action, mm-hmm. for they're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. But that will occur. It is merely a matter of paying attention to what your body consciousness is doing and how it is moving and listening to that. And in that you create the balance in which you are allowing yourself to exceed limits, but you are also paying attention to not create damage in which you halt yourself.
Yeah. I will continue exercise.
And I express congratulations to you, okay. that you have allowed yourself to discover a method that is fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. If it's not fun, I cannot do it.
And thank you, Thurston.
Thank you. Another thing that I wanted to talk about is this. State of my internal affairs. It's also odd to me because it seems that I, on one hand, I find myself a little bit removed and a little bit be a more open observer. And on the other hand, I feel and it spills out into my dreams. I don't remember them that much, but it seems that my dreams are having recurring inner feelings seen so many years. There are some things that is not being resolved. So I feel like my all the issues that go from year to year, and like they may not be that significant, but they may be more significant since I'm on a higher and wider level, they're not resolved. So it's like all the unresolved issues are somewhere sitting in my psyche and kind of eat out, you know, their way out, you know, like they are eating myself from inside, so to speak, and until they are resolved, I feel this nagging feeling, and that kind of spoils the mood, spoils the everyday life. So, and I'm trying to deal with it, and I'm trying on one hand accept and to tell myself I don't have to resolve it, and but my old conditioning tells me, yeah, but if you don't resolve it, you cannot go further. So I'm kind of conflicted there.
All for an example.
It's at work, for example. There is a process that has been written by me. I didn't have enough information at the time. You know, I was given only so much information and I was not insistent enough, so I'm getting more. At the time I have written, and now, like a few years later, there are problems that are being reported, and I suspect that it may be me, it may not be me. And again, I don't have enough information to make this judgment. I try to dig as much as I possibly can. On the one hand, I want to find what the issue is, on the other, I don't. I don't want to deal with it anymore, because it represents that old me, you know, that was not that happy with it. And I don't want to be that old me anymore.
But you are not. And therefore, you bring the new you into the old situation to introduce a new method or a new manner to engage. You are improving. It is not necessarily a matter of resolving. It is not a matter of addressing to resolve. It is a matter of addressing to improve, to include the improvements that you have generated yourself. You have moved forward you have expanded, you have generated more information and significant changes, and now it is a matter of allowing those improvements and those expansions to permeate all that you do. There is no resolution. There is improvement.
How would they bring it to life from a concept of direction? Just a matter of allowance? Just letting it unfold?
Yes. And whenever inspired, engage your creativity.
That's another thing that I feel lately, like I am somewhere in the gray area, not in black, not in white, but somewhere in the middle, and it's very unusual for me.
And you are all moving into unfamiliar territory.
Yeah. And I cannot say that I'm stressed about it. No way I'm stressed, but it's, again, it's curious, and I guess everything comes back to trusting yourself.
Yes.
Everything, no matter where you start, what the problem you start, it's all a matter of trusting yourself.
Yes. Very much so. Trusting and allowing.
Again, this fine line, trusting and allowing, and you know, allowing for me, and probably for other people, implies that you just lay back and let it unfold, but that's not it. You said it yourself. It's also an action.
Yes.
And it could be an active action.
Yes.
And I guess I'm having no problem, but I still need to actualize it.
Would it be a good example of allowing, of analogy for allowing, where, let's say, there is a puddle of water and I want that water to flow further. So I try to make a little pathway in the sand and see it flow. It may not flow too far, I may try another pathway to flow a little further. Finally, I manage to make a pathway that will allow it to flow all the way to some other destination. So I participate in the flow by trying and observing and allowing that to flow.
Yes.
Right? That's how it feels to me as an energy.
Yes.
You don't have to sit on the couch, you can try this and try that, but you are observing how it happens. Is it happening to me? Is it making more than is it happening to me?
You're observing and you are participating.
Yes. And you are experimenting.
Yeah.
And in that, you continuously offer yourself more and more information, and you inspire yourself more. Just as you enjoy pushing the limits, this is another manner of pushing the limits.
I was wondering about my friends Tamara at work and Tamara at my ensemble, what kind of focuses there were. I think that Tamara in ensemble is emotional focus, and you think that she's self-focused.
Yes.
And I think Tamara at work, it just came to me during the session that she's religious focus, maybe. Not
correct.
Me. Correct? Really? My impression was correct? Wow. Thank you. Interesting. And Tamara, my ensemble, Tamara Volska, my domra player, who is she, thought or emotional?
Political.
Oh my god, that's interesting.
Okay, that makes sense.
Interesting. How about her husband Anatoly?
Emotional.
Yeah? Okay. I wanted to talk about the flow of the book that I'm reading, and I wanted to discuss it with you, but I guess it's going to be another session.
Very well. As always, my friends, I express tremendous appreciation of each of you. and great lovingness to you both. I shall be offering my energy and tremendous encouragement to each.
No, thank you.
And you may be assured of my constant presence.
Thank you.
Until our next meeting, my dear friends.
You look